love food. Five Nine is a fan. Of course, that is Michael Jackson's Thriller. Because not only having fun with some beer music, but Halloween-type music, scary music. I don't know if it's really that scary, but I remember the world premiere of the full-length Thriller video on MTV, when MTV showed videos. I remember being, oh my gosh, I was downstairs in my basement, like, just there waiting, tuning in, and it was definitely pretty awesome. And it was a short little movie. Was that John Landis, I think, too, that did that? Big director John Landis. And so just a perfect segue for our segment right now, because I'm standing here with Bill Streeter, so local documentarian, Hydraulic Productions Pictures. I'm sorry, I said it wrong the first time. He corrected me, and my short-term memory obviously did not help out. So we're talking with Bill because you've got a documentary that you're getting ready to premiere next week, right?
Well, to be fair, it's not a premiere. It's a work-in-progress screening. The film's not done yet, but we're going to screen about an hour of material on Thursday, and it's going to be the opening event at the film festival on Thursday, November 3rd.
That's great, and I have a link at TonyLovesFood.com to the screening info, and so it's St. Louis Brews.
St. Louis Brews, it's all about the history of brewing in St. Louis. We connect the modern craft brewing movement with the history of brewing in St. Louis, which is very broad and deep and interesting.
Yeah, and I just, before we went on, I heard you talking about the beer that you were drinking, and definitely sounded like you know what you were talking about, so I don't think you're just a film fan. It sounds like you are a fan of your subject matter.
Well, whenever I do a documentary, I obviously immerse yourself in the topic, so this happened to be beer. My last film was Brick. It wasn't quite as fun, just as interesting. But beer is something that I've been into beer, craft beer, since the early 90s, so early days of craft brewing. So, yeah, it's something I used to homebrew even. So, yeah, so like I mean, I'm very familiar with this topic. The thing that was really interesting for me doing this film was really learning about the history of brewing in St. Louis, one of really the world's great brewing cities historically. So, And surprisingly, nobody's ever done this documentary before, so I thought, why not?
Yeah, and I mean, it's definitely a rich history. There's the book St. Louis Brews, yep. And so...
this film is a jumping off point. It's the reason we called it St. Louis Brews is because it's not an adaptation of the book, but like it was the publisher was very encouraging us to do the film, and for a while I thought about naming it something else, but then I was like, well, why not just name it the same thing? But I wouldn't say it's an adaptation of the book. It's more like a companion piece. Like, you'll get different information from the book, probably a lot more information from the book than you will from the film, and you know, so like there's really no reason not to watch the film and read the book. There's no reason not, you know, you'll get, if you're into beer, you'll enjoy both.
And so, obviously, just a very deep subject, craft beer in general, yep. History of St. Louis, brewing, obviously a big, deep subject.
Yep.
When you go about a project like this, how do you frame it up in your mind of what, quote-unquote, story you're going to tell?
Well, that's a really good question, because that's an issue we're kind of grappling with still. Like I said, the film's not done yet, and what I've discovered is that this could have easily have been like a 5-hour, 10-hour, even Ken Burns style documentary. But there's other things I want to do with my life, so I won't be making a film that's that long. But I think what you need to do is with a documentary is just tell a really good story and tell it accurately and sort of, you know, mention some of the other important things, but really what we've distilled it down to in terms of the 19th century is that there are three big brewing families in St. Louis that sort of span both the 19th and 20th centuries, and those are the Bush family, of course, everybody knows them, but the Lemp family also spanned both centuries, and so did the Grisedick family, which the Lemps and the Grisedicks are two families that are sort of forgotten, but those are the three most important families that span both the 20th and the 19th century. But, like, into the 21st century, the Grisedick family is still going on. And so is the Bush family, in fact. The Bush family, Billy Bush, owns Craftig now. So those things, it's really a difficult thing to sort of distill it down into, like, maybe a 2-hour, 2.5-hour story. when you really could go much deeper. But I have a feeling that there'll be a few different versions of this film that sort of cover different things. So,
well, documentaries, I mean, one, it's probably my favorite genre of movies. I love documentaries. And the process I always think about, because you don't have a script that you're following, and the process of making the movie, there's other things you learn and other things that you discover that you can go in this direction or that direction. I imagine it's a challenge to get where you're going with it.
I think what you need to do, my approach is to start with a thesis and try to stick to that thesis. And sort of every time you feel like going down another rabbit hole, you want to, like, you sort of have to think about, is this a thing that sort of supports the thesis, or am I sort of veering off in the wrong direction, you know? So you have to sort of check yourself at every turn. But at the same time, you know, what you do, you don't really have a script, but you do start with an outline. You sort of know generally where it's going. And even if you're following a story in real time, you know what's going to happen in that story. For instance, we're following Earthbound Brewing, and we start following them before they open. And we knew in advance generally what the story was going to be. They were going to, like, open the smallest brewery in St. Louis, and they were going to go into business, and either going to fail or succeed, right? So you know in advance those things are going to happen. But what you want to do is, like, you start with an outline, and you sort of follow that outline, and sometimes those bullet points in your outlines work out really well, and other times they don't. And you have to be open to, while you're in the process, open to new taking a different approach to things or a different angle. So you start with a general idea, but you have to be open to, like, letting things happen as well. So, and that's one of the things I really enjoy about doing documentaries. It's a little bit different. All filmmaking is like that to some degree or another, but, like, I think documentary in particular, you really have to be open to the process and letting and not being so rigid with your original outline that you can't, like, explore something if it comes up. And a lot of it happens in editing, too. So
we're talking with Bill Streeter, local movie maker, Hydraulic Pictures. And so people may know Bill and your film, Brick, about the history of Brick in St. Louis. And so another just great thing, so much history there. And I imagine that was a really fun project that you did.
Yeah, that was that movie, we started making it in 08, end of 08, and it came out in 2011. And surprisingly, you know, you would think, when I made that film, I had no idea that, like, anybody outside of a subset of, like, people would be interested in a movie about Brick in St. Louis. But I kind of felt like that was a challenge as a filmmaker, is to make a movie about a building material that people would actually care about. And apparently I succeeded, because it's still, like, people come up to me all the time and tell me that they saw that movie or they love that movie, and they look at the city differently because they saw that movie. So it was very, very rewarding to have that happen. I didn't expect it to happen, but it was very rewarding to have that happen. So
yeah, I bet. I'm sure that if they have anybody respond to the art that you're putting out, I think it's probably a great thing. And so what are some of the things that you were surprised about or that you learned, so to speak, so far in this process with St. Louis Brews?
Well, I think it's surprising that there are, like, 50 breweries operating in St. Louis now. So this year, which is a historic high, the previous number that where we peaked out in the 19th century was about 40, somewhere around 40. So there's 50 in the region now. That's according to membership in the St. Louis Brewers Guild, but still, I mean, that's a lot of beer, you know, being created. I think that's pretty surprising. I don't know. I mean, there are a number of things that surprised me, you know, working on this film. Surprising that, like, everyone I've met in the brewing business have been so nice. I mean, they're all really great people, so I don't know.
How much beer have you drank?
Today? I had a half a glass just now, just some Craftig. During this process, you know, it's funny, every brewer I interviewed sent me home with beer. Craftig was particularly generous. I think they sent me home with about 8 cases of beer when I interviewed Billy Bush for that. So, but yeah, I mean, we drink a lot of beer making this film. Taste it a lot, you know.
Well, thanks for spending some time with us. I'm looking so forward to seeing the movie, as I'm sure so many people are. And Bill Streeter, Hydraulic Pictures. So Hydraulic, is that named after the street in St. Louis?
It's named after the Hydraulic Press Brick Company. So when I first started this business, I had a business partner, and we were trying to decide what to name the business. And I kept coming up with all these kind of high concept names, and she was a woman, but she thought all the names I was coming up with were feminine. And I was looking at my brick movie, trying to come up with a name for the business. And I know Hydraulic was kind of an interesting name, and it was masculine, which my female business partner wanted. So I was like, how about Hydraulic Pictures? She goes, I love it. So it came up. So it was named after the Hydraulic Press Brick Company, but.
That's great. My parents, the first street that they lived on when they were married was Hydraulic. Yeah. And not long ago,
Also named for the Hydraulic Press Brick Company. So that's where that name comes from. Yeah.
And so I was in a shop on Cherokee one day, and I saw a brick with hydraulic stamped in it, so I got it for them, and they love it. So thanks so much for spending time with us, and good luck with the movie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care, Bill. Bill Streeter, again, Hydraulic Pictures, and we'll have a beer in a bit. And so we're on the move now down to the Forehands booth here to talk with Becky about some things that are going on and some of the new releases and things they have going on. So, hi, Becky. Hello. You're with Forehands Brewing, right?
I am. I work in the tasting room, and I help out with events.
That's awesome. We love the events. We were at Forehands for the raffling event broadcasted from there last week. And so what do you guys have going on at Forehands that's, new stuff that people should be excited about?
So, this week we have some sneak peek taps around the city. We're doing our variants of chocolate milk stout. So we have gingerbread chocolate milk stout, our peanut butter chocolate milk stout, and our s'mores chocolate milk stout. The packages will be released mid-November-ish, but right now it's in the tasting room, so go over and try some.
Yeah, that when I tried that the first time, it's like stouts are, I like stouts, but, they're not for everybody.
Yeah.
And sometimes those really different flavors, like it's like, oh, chocolate milk stout, what's that gonna be like? It was like, wow. I mean, it's everything that it says.
We try really hard to make sure that we use natural ingredients and all of our flavors are there, but they're not overly in your face. We like to keep a natural flavor with our beers for sure, so we just like to keep things mellow, but you definitely get a hint of that s'more and that gingerbread. It's really awesome.
And so what are you guys pouring here today?
We have Super Flare, which is a Brett IPA with mango and guava. I believe it's our last batch of the season. And then we have our chocolate milk stout original and the peanut butter chocolate milk stout. We just blew the s'mores. I'm afraid the brewers got to it before the guests did. So
those darn brewers. Imagine that, the brewers going around drinking everybody's beer.
I know. You can't stop them. They're monsters. I turn around and there's just everyone in our tent. So.
Well, I think that's a good sign, probably. If the brewers are coming to try the beer, that's probably a good sign.
Absolutely. If the brewers like your beer, then you're doing something right, for sure. We tend to be really pro St. Louis beer. I went around before and tried everyone's. Everyone's so nice in this brewing community. St. Louis has such a strong community. We're all really helpful. We were just talking to Big Muddy, and they actually just sold us a bunch of hops. They have a chocolate milk stout s'mores going on, too, so we were just kind of comparing flavors and doing that, so that was fun.
That's awesome. So, again, Forehands Brewing there in LaSalle Park neighborhood. Neighborhood I call home. I said it already today. I love that I counted it off about 230 steps from my front door to the nearest bar stool over at Forehands. So what would be, you help out with events, what would be the next event at Forehands that's going to be coming up?
Our next event, it's mostly going to be tastings and stuff. Unfortunately, the weather's getting kind of cold. Sunday night, actually, we're doing Gremlins. So come out, check it out. We do a cask beer that day. They keep it secret till the day. So it's back in the container bar. It's a really good time. I'll be out there bartending, so come say hey.
That's awesome. We were there for the Goonies last Sunday. I mean, and then I say the Gremlins. It's just two classic movies. It's a great event out there at the Container Bar. We really had a good time. So thank you so much for spending some time with us. We're looking forward to your next event and to our next stagger over to Forehands and stagger home and have fun here at the event. Thanks for spending some time with us, Becky.
No problem. Thank you guys so much. Enjoy the beautiful day.
if you don't enjoy a day like today, I think that you've got something really heavy going on in your life, or you've got some issues. So, again, we are at the St. Louis Brewers Guild Halloween party in Lafayette Square Park. We've really had a good time. The live music is going on, costume contest, food trucks, all kinds of stuff. So, again, no more tickets available. But just, you know, look for the next events from the Brewers Guild and all the different breweries. Check them out. We've got such a great history. I want to thank Brooke for helping me out with getting the guests and everything today. Grover, again, for running the board. We had a great time. And, of course, Troika Brodsky for setting us up at this great event. Tony Loves Food Show, 590 The Fan, thank you for hanging out with us, folks, and we will see you next week. This is one of my favorite instrumental songs ever. It's Frankenstein from Edgar Winter, 590 The Fan. Everybody have a great day.